For those that don't know, what we try to do here, what we strive to do is verse by verse through the Bible. That's what I have found is the best way for you as sheep to get the whole counsel of God. That's the best way for me to preach the whole counsel of God. So we're going through the book of 2 Corinthians, and the title of the message this morning is, How Can I Do the Hard Things? We talked last week about, you know, this is, as Christians. So let me just give you a little background here, what this message is going to be about. I asked somebody this week, and so I want you to answer in your own mind, see what you would say. Is the Bible primarily written to Christians, believers, those that are followers of Jesus, or is the Bible primarily written to those that are lost? Let me ask that question again. You just think about it in your heart. Is the Bible primarily written to those? Remember, we had also in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it really describes two kinds of people. Those that are in Christ or those that are in their sins. Right? Those are really the two kinds of people. Saved from their sins or lost in their sins. Those are just biblical terms. So I want to ask you this again. Is the Bible primarily written to believers, followers, Christians, those that are born again, those that have given their lives to Jesus Christ, or is the Bible primarily written to the lost? I agree with that. So I believe it's written to believers. So this morning's message is written to those that are in our audience that are born again. You're truly saved. You know there was a time that you were lost and you deserved the wrath of God and you're on your way to hell, but you repented, you turned from your sins. Repentance is a change of mind, a change of direction. You repented of your sins and you surrendered your life in faith, completely trusting that what Jesus did on the cross, His death, His burial and resurrection would rescue you, would save you from the wrath of God. That's who this message is this morning. See, here's a problem. This is a problem. So for those of you that you're not lost. I mean, you're not saved, but you're lost. Here's the struggle, right? You get a lot of people that they don't know Christ. Oh, they might know Him here. They might be religious. They might go to church. You see, but that doesn't define a Christian. And they open the Bible up and they think they can follow the Bible themselves. See, that's a problem. See, this morning's message is written to Christians. If someone in our midst, a lost person in our midst, decided that you're going to take this message this morning and you're going to try to implement this message this morning, it won't make you right with God. You see, the problem is, if you don't understand who it's written to, you can think that we get to heaven by our works, but you have to look at the context. There's nothing we can do to satisfy God and make up for our sin. That's why Christ had to die on the cross. So this morning's message is written to those that are in Christ. We'll even talk about that more tonight as we continue to go through the Gospel of John, just in John chapter 1. It's John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Tonight, when you're done, you'll be able to teach somebody, what does it mean to receive Jesus Christ? You know, salvation is not complicated, but it's not just bow your head and repeat after me either. It's not just coming forward and that act of going forward is what gives you eternal life. What does it mean to receive and believe? We'll talk about that tonight. So this morning's message, just so you know, is written to believers. It's written to those that are in Christ, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 would suggest. And so, Abby, go ahead and put up the left-hand side that you have. So I asked Abby these things of, on the left-hand side, much patience, affliction, necessities, distresses, stripes, imprisonments, tumults, labors, watching, and fastings. Those are all part of the message last week. Those are all part of this message. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. It says, We then as workers together with Him, that would be a believer, that we now are servants, we're workers together with Him, with Christ, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. And that would be without purpose, emptiness. And so here's the key, is that as a believer, you say, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, what will you do with the grace of God that's been bestowed on you? Will you serve the Lord? Will you honor Him? And now, what we talked about last week were very, very hard things, right? This list of 10 things here that we saw there in verses 4, 5, we saw that there. You see, it says, but in all things, in verse 4, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, right? And so it says in verse 3 that we give no offense in anything. So these things are difficult, but you remember this. As believers, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we live to bring honor to Jesus Christ. The worst thing that we can do is bring offense to the cause of Jesus Christ. So how do we avoid bringing offense? Is that we should have all of these characteristics here. But if you look at those characteristics, they're hard, are they not? They're difficult. It's so easy to preach, just to have patience. Just hang in there, my friend. You know, especially if I'm not going through it, right? Isn't it easy for us to say, well, you know, those people in Florida, too bad, so sad. You know, I think we do care. But we would care a whole lot more if we're looking out our window and the trees are falling and there's 100-mile-an-hour winds. Wouldn't we care a little bit more? So it's easy to preach. It's difficult to live. But what the Lord tells us is that this is how we honor Christ. We live not to bring offense. And so in all of these things, they're difficult. They're hard. Life is hard. So here's the good news. I love this about the Scriptures. What we will see today is the Lord instructing us. How do you do the hard things? How do you honor the Lord? How do you just not, you know, hear a preacher flap his gums for, you know, 40 minutes or more or less? And so, you know, how do you do that, right? So here's what it says. I want to start, if you allow me to. Let's start at verse 3. And then this morning, we're going to read through verse 10. Paul says this, again, to believers, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. That's the goal. We want to honor Jesus Christ. Verse 4. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. That's just servants of God. That's not talking about just preachers or pastors. Every single believer, you're a servant of the Lord. So don't just say, well, that's you, preacher. It says, but in all things, approving ourselves, Paul's talking to the whole church here at Corinth, as the ministers of God, and here's the difficult things, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Now here's the text this morning. How do you do these difficult things? We'll see 10 things this morning. One is a category of things. But I do also believe there's something about the order of Scripture. Here's how you do the difficult things, verse 6. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, and as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. You see, what I'm going to love this morning is you'll laugh about this. Remember, last week I intended to take us through verse 10. But I cut off the message, and so we're going to go through 6 to 10 today. I actually could preach another message. We'll see. I think I'm just going to have it to one message. But here's the most beautiful thing. Sometimes I need to slow down as a preacher as well. But I do want to tell you this. You need to slow down as a student of God's Word. I'm all for us going through the Bible in a year. I think that's a great objective, so I don't want to discourage anyone from that. What I do want you to encourage is, I do believe that every single believer, we must be in the Word of God daily, because it's our spiritual nourishment. We must, and it's just not something that preachers are supposed to say. If you aren't in the Word of God daily, then you are going to be spiritually malnutritioned. You're going to be spiritually weak. Because we need the feeding, we need the help of the Word of God, we need the leading. You know, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We need God's leading. How do you know when it's God or not? Well, we need to be in His book. So, we need to slow down when we read it. So what happens is, if you try to read 3 1/4 chapters a day, what I love is this. This morning's message, and you see it can be the same for you when you're reading and studying the Word of God. When you see the difficult things and you go, wow, life is hard. Some of you are going through difficult things this week, today. Some of you are like, you know, I don't like this. I just told a group of men, you know, this week, I said, you know what? I'm tired of failing. But I also told them this. I'm a little tired of fighting. You ever feel that way? I'm tired of failing, but I'm tired of fighting. And so I really, as a believer, I have two choices. Give in to failure or fight the good fight. You see, but I'm just tired sometimes. And so what the Lord says, are you going through difficulty? Are you going through trouble? Is life hard for you? Are these 10 things that we have listed up on the left-hand side of the screen, are they difficult for you? Absolutely they are. But here's what the Bible says. The Lord gives us instruction. How do we do these hard things? Let's look at the first one. Look at verse 6, by pureness. And I want us to pause. And it's near and dear to my heart. Our men, this summer, we took them through a video series where our ladies had a separate time in Sunday school as well. And that video series is so relevant, so real, so needed in the lives of our men. That what we need is we need pureness with our minds, with our eyes, with our actions, in how we relate to women, right? And so our men, we've done that, and it's a beautiful thing. And so when the Bible says this, it's important. When it says, how do you do the difficult things? It needs to be by pureness, right? Look over to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. As our men have learned, it all starts in the mind. Some of you probably have this verse memorized, and you probably realized it when I referenced it. It says this, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And so the Lord says this, how do we do the difficult things? We need to be pure in our thinking, pure in our actions, and we need to get rid of those things that dishonor God. And so our men have gone through that. I'm getting real comfortable with that. Men, we need to be honorable with our actions, with our thoughts, with our viewing, and all that we do. We need to be honorable before God and not just before our wives, not just if we're afraid we're caught. We need to be honorable in all things, because if we are not pure in our thinking, in our actions, then you know what? The difficult things are going to be really tough. I will tell you this. I'm convinced of this, right? And so I know this for our men. And so ladies, I will tell you this too. Our men, we're starting our second group that's going to meet. I'm going to start another. We have to be real. We have to be unfeigned. It can't be fake love. It needs to be real love. We need to work things out. We need to get along. We need to have that. And I'll tell you, it's important. If you have unfeigned love and you work through difficulties, you'll be better off for it. You'll be better off if you do what's right. If we only just really believed God, if finally we say, you know what, I've got to make it right with that brother or sister. I need to make it right with that person. You'll be better prepared for difficult things. But if you keep everything on the surface, no, you're not getting any closer than that. Look, that's a big part of my life. I'm working on all that, right? It's I must be vulnerable. How can I help people if I don't open up and I don't just help them and I have to be real? Unfeigned love will prepare us for the hard things. Let's look. We're on number 7. Look at this. By the word of truth. So maybe some of you have the question, and I'll pick up the pace here. By the word of truth. And I actually may not cover number 10 today, Abby, because I've been too slow. So look at verse 7, by the word of truth. So I wonder what you think. What's the difference between, he says in verse 6, he says, by pureness, by knowledge, and now he says, by the word of truth. Some of you might conclude, well, the word of truth is the same as knowledge. If you're reading through your Bible too quick and you don't sit back and you don't have to preach it, you'd probably say, who cares? I've read my 3 1/4 chapters. What's the difference by the word of truth? Let me tell you, the word. What's the intent of words? They are to be communicated. They are to be spoken. They can be spoken in writing. They can be spoken in communication. By the word of truth, here's what the Bible says. You need to get the knowledge that'll help you for difficult things, but then you need to have the word of truth either coming out of your mouth or your hand. It can be communication. It just needs to be communication. What will prepare you for the hard things is that you are speaking truth. You are communicating truth. You are speaking the word of truth. It will take your Christianity to a different level. How many people at your jobs know that you love Jesus and that Jesus is the priority of your life? Here's the easy thing. If you say, I haven't done that, I don't care how long you've worked, go there tomorrow and say, man, my preacher, blame it on me. You can say, he told me I had to do this. You know, I mean, I want you to want to do it. But you tell him, say, you know what, I love Jesus Christ. And I want you to hold me accountable for that. And I want to tell you why I love Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ has done for me. The word of truth, will that not prepare you for difficulties? Let me tell you, you witness to your waitress, you better tip well. Or tell them you're not, don't tell them you're from Hope Baptist Church. Don't leave a Hope Baptist Church track if you're not going to tip well. I'll get you some alternative tracks. There's a few churches that, no, I'm kidding. But you know, it'll put you on the spot, won't it? You know why sometimes, you know, I went back and I you know, all of these things as we went through all this purity, right? And God protected me and you know, I never went to the bad places. I never did the bad things. All the other guys did. Now, you say, I think I'm something, right? Let me tell you, this is the sad testimony. You know why I didn't do bad things? I'm convinced. Not because I'm a great guy. There's two reasons. One, I was afraid I'd get caught. And you know, I have my lovely wife sitting back there. I love my wife. It's just, man, I'm telling you this. I want to do what's right. I want to honor the Lord. And you know, I praise the Lord that He kept me from all that. But you know what? I was afraid I'd get caught. But you know what else kept me in balance? That I had told other people about Jesus Christ. The word of truth will keep me from a lot of difficulty, a lot of problems. I've told you before, why do I not have a bumper sticker on my car that says, I love Jesus? I'm not so sure if I agree with all the speed limits around. And, you know, if I get really right with the Lord, you're going to see a big old, don't you dare put a bumper sticker on me and don't tell me. And, but it's, I'm not that bad. But you know, because I know this, I put a bumper sticker on my car, all of a sudden I'm accountable for that, aren't I? I better drive right. You put a bumper sticker on your car, drive right. I know this is not good preaching, or take the bumper sticker off, right? That's really not good, but do right, right? Do right. But here's the key, the word of truth, it'll make you accountable. So that when you want to do what's wrong, you'll do what's right. But I'll tell you this, what we need to do is, you want to be prepared for the hard things, be a communicator of truth. But be quick to tell people this, I am not righteous. It's the Lord, which brings us to our next one. You see, it says the word of truth, and it says the power of God. This is important. I love this. So the Bible is important. Most of these things, I would tell you, that we can do. Isn't this good? God says, how do you do the hard things? He says, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, through the Holy Spirit, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of, it should have been the power of God, right? Did I put the power of truth? No, it's just, you know, when you get volunteers, they're terrible, right? I'm just kidding. It's my daughter, for those that don't know. The power of God, that's completely different than the power of truth. The power of truth, what's that about? Just kidding. But it's the power of God. It's the power of God. Here's the neat thing. This is important for you to realize. In order to do the hard things, you need the power of God. Isn't that good to know? God didn't just leave you alone. He didn't say, just do the hard things and suck it up. He said, you need the power of God. Now, here's how you'll be encouraged. I would love this sometime. I would love this. I would love to share it with you. When has the power of God ever been in your life? Do you know when the power of God's been in your life? Have you ever seen the power of God in your life? Have you ever seen the Lord and you knew, wow, God did that? That is encouraging. You should remember that. You should tell your whole family. Have you ever seen the power of God in your life? It'll help you during the difficult things because you'll say, I know I need the power of God. I've seen the power of God before, and I can trust that if I need the power of God, then it'll be there. So he says, you want to do the hard things, you need the power of God. That's good, and that's good for people like me. I've told you this, my philosophy in life, I think it can be anti-biblical sometimes. It's just work harder. Sometimes I just need to trust the Lord. I think I should work harder. But I need to rely on the Lord. I better not rely on my hard work. And so what the Lord says is, he says, you want to do the hard things, it's by the power of God. Then I'll finish with this. And then we'll not have a complete message on those next week. But I just want to look at number 9. He says, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. So what's the armor of righteousness? It's the breastplate of righteousness as spoken of in Ephesians chapter 6. What's the breastplate of righteousness? What's the armor of righteousness? The armor of righteousness is this. It's the righteousness of Christ. And so this is important. We need to rely on the righteousness of Christ and not our own goodness. So we want to deal with the hard things. It's not on my righteousness, it's on the righteousness of Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21, just a few verses before. He said, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." You see, the only reason why we can be righteous is because we have the righteousness of Christ. And the armor of righteousness, when it talks about that, it's this, remember this. Your righteousness, the Bible tells us in Isaiah, is as filthy rags. Don't rely on your righteousness. But what the Bible says is, the way you'll overcome difficult things is always remember this. The only thing good about me is Jesus Christ. The only hope I have is the righteousness of Christ. I want to tell you, the only hope that you and I have today, not just for eternity, but today. You want to deal with the hard things? Remember the righteousness of Christ. You want to deal with the difficult things? Remember all of these things. 10 we'll deal with next week. There's many that are in 10, but we'll talk about that next week and then we'll continue on in the passage. But here's what I want. I hope this was encouraging. You guys look a little different today. I know this is always, are you hot? Do we have the air? I think it just kicked on, you know. Maybe I should put it on 65 because then you'll be like, oh. You know, you'll be awake. But here's the important thing. Be encouraged. God has called us to do the difficult things. One of the greatest ways we as Christians can honor God is through suffering. But God didn't leave us alone. He didn't leave us to say, you know what, suck it up. He gave us these 9, then He gave us all the paradoxes we'll talk about next week. I do want you to notice, do you notice the balance? This is always the balance of Scripture. There is great responsibility on us, isn't there? But at the same time, there's great reliance upon God. That's the balance of life. Man's responsibility, God's sovereignty. We have to trust in the Lord, but you better be a responsible person and do what God says. By pureness, that's up to you and I. By knowledge, if you're not studying the Word of God, how do you expect to grow as a Christian? I've told people this. How many of you would like to go... And you go to the doctor, you go to the hospital, right? And a nurse comes in, and you know, all my daughters, they're nurses, right? And the nurse comes in and she goes, "I'm ready." And I go, "Well, tell me about your training." She goes, "Well, I only have 1 hour training per week." Now, there's others that have 3 hours of training per week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but I don't need that. I just have 1 hour of training a week. And I've been doing that, you know, and I occasionally miss. But it's okay. It's okay. It's no big deal. I have 1 hour training a week and I've been doing that for 10 years. Would you want that nurse? I don't think I'd want that nurse. But isn't that what we do as Christians? If you come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, you'll get 3 45-minute messages. And you think that's enough. And then we wonder why we struggle with obedience. We struggle with the hard things. You don't want your doctor to take his study of medicine the same way we take the study of God's Word. You see, we expect a whole lot out of people. You want your car mechanic? You want your car mechanic to, you know, just, well, you know, just figure it out. You know, I know enough. You know, Jesus saved me. Amen. Hey, you know, what are the first 5 books of the Bible? They're good. They don't know them. But that's good enough. I want to beg you. Let's be prepared. And here's the most beautiful thing. Let's be prepared for the hard things. And while we're preparing for the hard things, there is great joy in serving the Lord. Is there not? My best day is the day I walk with God. I get to tell other people about Jesus. I get to spend time with Him. I get to honor Him in all things. That includes my family. But I'm telling you, my best day is when I honor the Lord. I want to be prepared for the hard things. But until they happen, I'm going to love life. I'm going to love the Lord. And by God's grace, here's my goal. This is the most daunting thing about being a pastor. I want to stand before you. And I've never had a week where I've conquered this yet. Where I can stand before you in complete pureness, in complete faithfulness of my pursuit and study of the Word of God, in my complete long-suffering of all the circumstances and the relationship difficulties God allows, that I've been kind to everyone, my wife, my children, you, that I've followed the Holy Spirit's leading, I haven't grieved the Holy Spirit, that I've not had fake love, I've had real love, I'm trying to get beneath the surface and really love folks, that I have spoken the Word of truth, that I rely on the Word of God, and that I remember every week, there's nothing good about me, the only thing good about me is Jesus Christ. I stand before you as a preacher. It's the hardest part about being a preacher. You all think that I'm either telling you that I'm perfect, or you think I'm way better than you. I happen to be the messenger. Let's pursue the Lord together. The Bible's clear. The goal is clear. Be ye holy as I am holy. If we don't pursue these things, and if you're not conscious about them, see what'll happen, and I'm done. If you hear this message, I didn't see anybody frowning and going, "That's heresy. You're just a nut. You're just crazy," right? Maybe you think that, but your eyes didn't say that today, right? So I love to zoom in sometimes, right? Because then it gets really uncomfortable the longer somebody just talks, right? Doesn't it? All right, it's good. But it's you know, but here's the thing. If you don't do something about it, all it'll go is, you've been a hearer of the Word, but not a doer. Maybe there's just one thing this morning. What are you going to do differently about this list? I think most of you agreed with this list. Was there anything on the list you said, "Man, I'm 9 for 9"? But the problem is, if you're not 9 for 9, and you don't do anything about it, what you would say is, whatever you are, "I'm 2 for 9, I'm 3 for 9, I'm 0 for 9. If you don't do anything about it, here's what you'd say, "I'm whatever for 9, but I'm satisfied." The average Christian today is satisfied in their mediocrity. The only time we want Jesus is when a hurricane comes by. Then let's pray. The only time we want Jesus is when the kids are in the hospital. The only time we really want love unfeigned and all these other things is when the hard thing comes. But what the Bible says is this. The way you get ready for the hard things is before they come. I promise, when the hard things come, turn to God. But you'll be in way better shape if you've been preparing your heart, your life, your mind to walk with the Lord before the hard things. Let's pray.